Hello,
welcome to Ask an Atheist. I am your guest host this week, Jeremy Whitman, filling in for Sam Mulvey, who is on hiatus fighting the war on Christmas for us. With me today is activist and educator Rebecca Friedman. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeremy.
Yeah? You're on a bit of a vacation as well, are you not?
I am. I'm not on hiatus from radio, but for certain, I am on vacation from teaching.
Nice.
Yeah, Friday was our last day of classes before going on break until January, so I got to say the proverbial dorky, see y'all guys next year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did they groan at you?
They rolled their eyes appropriately.
Oh, good. That's good to know. So, we have a lot of exciting stuff happening around town for the war on Christmas. We've been reached out to.
Yes, it's actually not at all combative at all. Tacoma's own Grand Cinema, it's our little art movie theater, reached out to Ask an Atheist via Facebook and said, hey, your listeners might be interested in this. During the final Friday of every month, the theater runs what's called the Weird Elephant event, and it shows just something that's weird or mind-blowing or isn't likely to be seen on screens at all. And they got some prizes and some trivia, and a craft brewery comes in and does their craft beer night there, so it's a nice grown-up event. And this year, the final Friday of the month falls on Christmas.
Oh, so who might be interested in going and hanging out on that night to watch a weird movie?
Oh, I don't know, some atheists maybe?
Yeah. And so they did. They reached out to us, said, hey, come on down. We got what they got that day and then also the next day as well,
yeah,
correct?
An encore presentation on Saturday.
Encore presentation of what?
Of Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Ah, yay.
So I think that's an excellent choice for a Christmas movie.
Yeah, by that point in your week, you should have seen A Christmas Story 19 or 20 times on TNT. So, do they still do that where they play it all day and night?
I don't know. I don't have TV. I don't
oh, yeah?
have cable anymore. But it's nice to know that we are seen, that we are thought of as a group of people to be marketed to. Two, as people that, have some things that they might want to go out and do on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people might want to get together, have a date with someone, maybe a friend group. And three, that we're just plain human and exist.
Yeah, it's nice to be treated as members of society with some sort of agency. We've come a long way in the last 10 years, I would say.
Indeed. So the Ask an Atheist crew, as well as Humanists of Washington, will be probably getting together. Undetermined right now whether it will be on that Friday or on that Saturday, but keep an eye out at meetup.com's Humanists of Washington Secular South Sound meetup group. That's usually where we post where our post-show celebrations are going to be. And we're on hiatus from that this month, but I think that we're going to be getting together for some Life of Brian.
I think so, too. Well, sounds like a good time. What else do we got going on? Somebody said something about a Festivus poll.
Yeah, so tomorrow at 10 a.m. down in Olympia, I do believe that the Humanity Fund, as well as Humanists of North Puget Sound and Humanists of Washington, will be down in Olympia, our state capital, planting a rainbow Festivus pole.
You're going to need to go into a little bit more detail about that, because I did not know what this was until just a few minutes ago. So let's inform our listeners exactly what is Festivus.
Well, Jeremy, you work in comedy. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
The Festivus tradition could not have gone by you. You were alive in the 90s, I presume.
George Costanza's invention of Festivus. Exactly. I know a criminally small amount about this, despite the fact that my cousin was second assistant director on Seinfeld.
So whose cousin wasn't, after all? So on Seinfeld, you had Festivus for the rest of us, so those who didn't celebrate Christmas, and it was you erect a pole, and you have the airing of grievances, and it's a big complainy holiday. That particular holiday has been gone through various forms of change, and there's a movement to have a rainbow-wrapped Festivus pole, rainbows being the symbol of the LGBT acceptance movement and pride, and it's kind of a cool thing. So instead of having an airing of grievances, you have a celebration of inclusion during the holiday season of LGBT folks.
Oh, nice. And a rainbow also reminds us that God will never again flood the earth with water and kill everything.
Yeah.
That might not be in the spirit of this celebration.
No, I don't think so. My favorite thing about this is that it's topped with a shiny disco ball. I like that. Just the rainbow-wrapped pole, with the disco ball atop it. But,
Will you be on the ground to get some reaction? There's going to be some reaction that the gays are bedazzling Christmas.
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's something that's atheistic or something that's the gays bedazzling Christmas. Maybe we're one and the same to some folks.
It doesn't matter if it's either of those things. There will be someone who is bothered by it.
You know, there probably will be once it gets some amount of airing and things like that. But I can't help but note that Omaha atheists just this week went down to the Capitol to look at a nativity scene and protest the nativity scene and install one of their own secular displays as well. And they were expecting a whole bunch of backlash, and there were only two protesters in attendance.
Wow.
Yes, in Omaha. So one of the people that was protesting did happen to be the woman that decided to file a lawsuit to sue all the gays. And I think that the gays was part of her lawsuit. So you can have power in small numbers, which is this is very interesting. So I'm not sure what kind of reaction there'll be from the Rainbow Festivus poll. There is also right now... I think a winter solstice display as well as a nativity scene down on the Capitol lawn.
Mm-hmm.
There was the regular Hanukkah menorah that was in one of the public parks in Olympia during Hanukkah. So that's pretty typical that the local Chabad, which is a group of ultra-Orthodox Jews in any particular town or city, will want to have the lights displayed publicly. And on public land where all displays are welcome. Okay, it's open house for all kinds of glowy, flashy.
Yeah, turn the Capitol lawn into a religious NASCAR.
I want them to have a little golf course in between every little display.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I'm still waiting for that to happen. I really want it. And you know what? There has been some of our listeners have sent in little links to religious putt-putts around the country, but they're not the all-inclusive world tour of world religions. It's like, here's the, New Testament Bible things of like, I want like a little Tower of Babel that rocks back and forth and falls in your golf ball. I want all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to do a Kickstarter for that one, I think.
Yeah.
Becky's religious putt-putt.
Yes, Becky's religious putt-putt. Coming to a state capital near
you. Awesome. So we have some listeners who have helped the show out by responding to Peggy's challenge, and we need to give a nice thank you to Nick, Owen, Paul, and Clint this week for their kind donations to the show that keep the lights on here at Ask an Atheist and keep these microphones running and manned and all that wonderful stuff. What is Peggy's challenge? Tell everyone at home.
Peggy's challenge is, we have a listener, Peggy, from Kent, locally here, that said, hey, you know what? If you really think that there needs to be diversity of voices out there, especially the secular perspective, support our efforts. Support the efforts of producing this show, getting it out on the airwaves, and having that voice heard. You know, on Sunday programming, there's a tremendous amount of religious programming that goes out, and it's really nice to have a counterpoint to that.
Yeah.
So...
And an avenue for people to discover that they're not alone in their thinking. It's very important to us, and we do appreciate anyone who ever does respond to Peggy's challenge, which you can do by just going to our website at askanatheist.tv and clicking on that bright yellow button, right?
Exactly. It goes to our PayPal page, and all that money helps with production.
Nice. Cool. All right. So, announcement. Don't punch people because you think they might be terrorists.
Given. Are we back in school? I'm on vacation, Jeremy.
Huh?
Hands to yourself, inside voices. Are we going through my classroom rules?
We're having a problem here in America all of a sudden. Is that everyone thinks they're Batman.
Okay.
But they don't want to do the investigative work to actually be... Don't think you're Batman, grown people. We have, let's see... In the weeks since the ISIS attacks in Paris and more recent shootings in San Bernardino, California, attacks on innocent Muslims and non-Muslim people who look like Muslims or someone's idea of a Muslim have just shot way up. And that's not how we resolve our differences with people. First, make sure you have an actual difference with somebody. Some of these folks that have been getting attacked by whoever is doing the attacking, I hope it's none of our listeners, I don't think it is. But I'm trying with this story not to stereotype the attackers in my brains because I don't want to be responsible for the same sort of ignorance that they're responsible for. But
we want to make sure that we don't actually have a discrepancy or difference of opinion with them. And then if we do have a difference of opinion with them, we don't want to punch them? Is that
we don't know. That's the wonderful thing we have called the First Amendment that says you can have a difference of opinion with someone But unless you sanction it as a boxing match, you don't resolve it in that fashion.
Man, you should tell that New York convenience store owner who was beaten by a guy that said, "I will kill Muslims."
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Maybe the Pittsburgh taxi driver who was shot by a passenger who said he looked Pakistani and ranted about ISIS. Don't shoot your taxi drivers. You're paying them for a service. They're ferrying you around. Why would I? It's beyond punching someone.
Yes.
Another taxi driver, that Sikh taxi driver in Chicago who was beaten and called a terrorist. Sikhs not being Muslims, also not being a terrorist. Also a taxi driver.
Yeah, even having one of these stories is too many of these stories, and we have a lot of these stories we could go into.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we don't need any of that. Don't do that. That's a horrible idea. And don't fake a terrorist attack either. We don't have time to talk about that right now, but we will talk about that when we get back from our next break.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide $1 bajillion in your locker.
Wow, $1 bajillion?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
Now it's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEX Radio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist. I am your host, Jeremy Whitman. Go ahead and give us a call if you'd like, 844-753-7842. That's 844-SKEPTIC with any questions or comments you have about spirituality, religion, Christianity, hypocritical stuff.
Yeah, all the
if you should,
all of it.
If you should punch a terrorist or shoot your taxi driver because you think he might be a terrorist.
Answer.
We've already answered that. Yeah, you don't need to call us with that one. There's no good reason to ever do that. On kind of the same note, Becky, you're an educator.
Yes, I am.
If you wanted to be transferred from one school to another one, how would you go about that?
Let's see. There's a few means to do that. You can request of the central office that you transfer to a different school. You can inform the school you're currently working with that you're quitting and reapply to a different one. You can apply, and once you get accepted, tell your school that you're quitting, or, you know, any number of things like that.
These all seem kind of softball. How about, like, you fake a terrorist stabbing you and almost start an international incident? Would that be a way? I don't...
That would be maybe number 16 on my list.
Yeah?
No, no, definitely not.
I'm curious now as to options 13, 14, and 15. And
yeah.
Are those just less and less rational? Or is there a steep drop-off between 15 and 16?
I think there's that steep drop-off. First of all, I don't really like the sight of blood, so the self-stabbing thing would be my first go-to. Second of all, don't fake being attacked by someone.
No, that's crazy.
So I believe that you are referencing this because the preschool teacher in France recently stabbed himself to fake an ISIS attack.
Yes.
Yeah, so the teacher's name has not been released by authorities. He stabbed himself with a box cutter and scissors and then told police that he had been attacked by a masked individual claiming to be a member of ISIS. Police say that the teacher was trying to obtain transfer to a different school and he was hospitalized with serious but non-life-threatening wounds. His mental stability and job chances and job...
I believe he will not... He will be transferred, but not to a different school.
Hopefully not.
No.
I don't want to entrust my four-year-old with a teacher that would take into his own hands a box cutter and blame it on... France already has enough trouble being in the wake of a horrible terrorist attack. They've tried to do their best with saying, you know what, we're going to embrace refugees fleeing the same enemies, fleeing the same terrorists. France is, having a hell of a time with protesters around the world looking at the climate talks, the recent climate talks. And for this one dude to say, I don't like this particular group of 18 three-year-olds, and so I'm gonna stab myself and blame it on something that's going to inflame the passions of my countrymen. Horrible. Horrible. Stop it.
But just the amount of emotional distress it put so many people through in the short time it was believed to be true and coming so close after the other attack is amazingly bad.
But the second you involve children,
mm-hmm.
Here's a four-year-old. Now all of our four-year-olds are at risk from attacks and stabbings.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah. That's a very bad move on his part. Like I said, I believe he'll get his transfer, but probably to he won't be teaching people. He'll be having a lot of meetings and Thorazine and things like that.
Man. So we've learned not to punch people that you suspect to be terrorists. Also,
don't punch yourself. And blame it on terrorism.
Anything else we can learn from the events of this week?
No, you're going to have to tell me that one, Becky.
I don't know. Well, people like us to go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there's one other teacher thing, one other teacher-related thing, and that is that Texas students were protesting in support of their suspended teacher. Now, here's the thing. As a public school educator, I can teach about and inform about religions,
mm-hmm.
and answer students' questions. I can refuse to answer students' questions about me personally and my beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of walk that line of saying I am non-religious. I talk about my own heritage and upbringing. I say in my family, we didn't celebrate Christmas. And they say, well, what did you celebrate? And we said we celebrated Hanukkah and other holidays because I grew up in a Jewish household. Those are all fine things to do as a teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jeremy, you had a slightly different schooling experience that did not reflect the separation of
some of my schooling. Yeah, I did go to a fundamentalist elementary school and junior high.
But nothing like the students at this Texas high school. So the students were protesting in support of a teacher who was suspended for speaking about God and reciting Bible verses in class. Now, you might think that might be like a world history teacher discussing, particular key phrases that would be important to major world events.
I wouldn't think that, because then you wouldn't be fired.
Right. So he was an algebra teacher.
Oh.
And algebra, which does not come from the Bible, which actually comes from, I don't know,
Muslims?
Yes, as it might be. The word itself, algebra, right? So this algebra teacher was apparently praying. Charles Zeisel, he said he violated a school district policy that prohibits the promotion of religion during class time, according to Santa Rosa Independent School District Superintendent Heriberto Villarreal. Over 50 students held signs with religious messages in front of the school, and Zeisel asked the students to come in before class started, but students refused, saying the teacher was treated unfairly. I love that there's a school district policy that says, hey, in our school district, you can't promote religion during class time, let alone federal case law. I mean, does the school district really need to have this policy? It seems like...
apparently they do. They had to discipline a man, yeah.
Man, I mean, I guess props on him for saying, all right, kids, come on inside. Now it's class time.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that the school can not only have a policy, but maybe even a lesson to describe and explain why religious promotion in a classroom isn't permitted. It doesn't even matter if all of the students in that particular class are of one particular religion, the same or the different religion of the teacher, of the instructor.
Certainly not in an algebra class. No, robbing these children of a finite amount of time on this planet that they can use to learn algebra.
Exactly. Interestingly, in terms of looking at a teacher, whether that teacher is of the same or different religion from the majority of students, I had a really interesting experience this week where the day before break, we had breakfast and celebrations and wrap-ups and reflections and, you know, how are you doing, grades, all those kinds of things. And I realized that for one of my class periods, the majority of my students don't celebrate Christmas, Jeremy.
Oh, wow. How many students are in that class?
About 26 right now, and only 6 of them come from families that celebrate Christmas.
Oh, wow.
So it was quite interesting to be in that particular classroom where I, on that axis, was not a religious minority.
Mm-hmm.
To fill in a little bit more details, it's my class of English language learners,
mm-hmm.
and the students who were not religious were a mix of atheist, Buddhist, and Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
backgrounds. You know, a few kids seem to be okay with it. All the kids there were recent immigrants and are very much in sort of immersed in a environment of extreme diversity,
mm-hmm.
of traditions, of cultures, of dress, of food, of ways of interacting.
What did you say the name of this English learners class?
Yes, so it's a
ESL class is what they would have called it in my day. Is that true?
ESL sometimes is being called ELL, so a class of English language learners.
Mm-hmm.
That's acknowledging that for many of these students, English is not their second language. It might be their third, fourth, or fifth.
Oh, that's cute.
So it's a class. It's called Approaches to Learning, and it's an all-encompassing interdisciplinary class where we look at basically how to do high school. So what are the different ways that we can learn? What are some note-taking skills. We do an independent research project. We get to present on it. You have a lot of choice and open ways to accomplish those kinds of things. And it's a way to support our recent arrivals,
mm-hmm.
You know, as they integrate into our American school system.
And the school district you work for, very diverse, right?
It is. It's a diverse school district, especially in comparison to the demographics of Washington State in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So our major metropolitan cities in Western Washington do have a pretty big diversity in their student population, districts that, you know, cover many different home languages, and it's fulfilling and interesting to me. And it was for the first time, like I said, that the majority of students in my class that were not Christian didn't celebrate Christmas.
Well, so what would you do? So all these students are aware of Christmas as a holiday at this point. But
it is
possible that you could, through some series of events, have a student in a class like this who did not know what Christmas was, correct?
Yes. I do have students
somewhat unlikely
in different countries where sometimes they haven't experienced schooling at all. They've had interrupted schooling. They haven't been exposed to cultures outside their own.
So you, as a responsible teacher who is not trying to shoehorn the Gospels into algebra, may be at some point confronted with a question about what is Christmas. It could be even that bare of a question. That simple. How would you respond to that responsibly?
Sometimes I would have a student describe what they do in their own home to celebrate Christmas, mm-hmm. their cultures and home traditions will say, so that we can, one, have students practicing that oral expression, and then also looking at the diversity of experiences. So the bottom line being that Christmas is different things depending on your home culture and religion and family. And most of the time when I'm exploring or explaining the religious traditions from various communities, I will say, according to the story of, you know, the Christian tradition, or according to the celebration for these people. Mm-hmm. So I'm very careful not to say this was a fact. When Jesus lived, I don't even say presume the existence of Jesus in the first place. I will say according to Christians, and there are different kinds of Christians, and according to Catholics, this, you know, they worship Jesus as this. And I try my best to be as accurate as possible and work within my knowledge base. And
would you feel that it's a tightrope walk that you may come under fire for at any point? Or is it a fairly simple set of policies you have in your mind where you get the question, you respond in a responsible way without trying to convert a child or inject some certain religious philosophy into their way of thinking? Is it a pitfall where you're teaching algebra and suddenly you're on the Jesus topic? Is that something that you worry about in your day-to-day life?
You know, I have worried about occasionally. I'm a language teacher, and we study sometimes the origin of our words in our language. And in the Spanish language, we have a lot of words that enter in from Arabic. We have an expression called ojalá, and it means like, oh, I hope that something happens. And I describe just recently, 2 weeks ago, we were describing the origin of that. And it comes from woe to Allah, because that was an expression that came in through the Arabic language as the you know, from North Africa came into inhabit Spain. And students would say, well, why is it about Allah? And I said, because Allah is the Arabic word for God, just like Dios is the Spanish word for God. And so it's not like you are praying to Allah, to the Muslim God, when you use this expression. Mm-hmm. Just like when we say goodbye, I am not saying God be with ye, right? Mm-hmm. It's just an expression that entered into our language. But it's fun having students be aware of the origin and the etymology of our words. So, yes, did I do the proverbial algebra teacher and suddenly we're talking about Jesus? Well, I'm the language teacher and suddenly we're talking about the words that different cultures and communities use for their deity. So, yes, it has happened. It happened 2 weeks ago. Do I fear slightly that maybe I might get a complaint? I've kind of been expecting it for the past decade.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm willing to say, okay, I did this wrong. This was a bad call, and I will do this differently in the future. But so far, I've been pretty secure in how I've been presenting information about different communities and cultures. I strive to be understanding. I continue to take courses that address the teaching of students from many different cultures and communities, and how best to do that within an accurate way, within an inclusive way, and in a way that does not break that line between the separate state.
Had you ever stepped over the line, I think you would know it immediately. Is that going out of, am I out of truth with that?
You know what? I don't know. What's over the line in someone's mind might not be in my own. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to sort of wait and see how that plays out between administration, between my representatives, my union representatives, and see how that works. But so far, no one's called me on it. No one has complained in a particular class. I've had students individually that said, I don't want to do this assignment where we study the Mexican Day of the Dead. Mm-hmm. We're doing a compare and contrast essay about your home culture's conception of death and spirituality and how it's observed by the Mexican peoples. It's not that I'm asking you to celebrate Mexican Day of the Dead. And most of the time when I explain that, they say, oh, okay, all right, all right. Yeah. Say, especially when you give students the opportunity to say, this is what my beliefs are.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So that's how that played out. But I would hope that if I had ever crossed the line between separation of church and state and was preaching from my classroom, that students wouldn't skip their class to protest my suspension. I would hope that they go to school.
Really? I would be the other way. I want that everyone stands on their desk in support of the Dead Poet Society guy.
Oh, captain, my captain?
Mm-hmm.
No,
hopefully for a better reason than I tried to force a belief system down a child's throat, but...
So what have we learned today? No punching, don't fake your attack, and go to school, kids!
Yeah, go to school. I think they should protest if they feel strongly about it, but I also feel that these students do not perhaps know that the way to actually affect change. I mean, if you wanted a school system where they taught you Christianity and forced you to believe in it, we have a legal route to that. You just have to change the Constitution.
We also have a legal existing route to that where you have private schools.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to private school. Yeah,
many, many options.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break and we're going to come back in a little bit and respond to some listener questions and comments and emails and things like that.
Sounds good, Jeremy.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
Billy! Hillary! Billy, I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
All right. Welcome back to Ask an Atheist, not Axe an Atheist. That is,
do not do
that. No, that's
like
the
next.
That's the new Trump campaign bumper sticker, Axe an Atheist 2016. I'm sorry about that. Welcome back to Ask an Atheist. You can give us a call, drop us a line, leave us a question at 844-753-7842. That's 844-SKEPTIC at your leisure. We do appreciate it if you do that. We do have some wonderful questions today. We have one from Chelsea in Houston who asks, humans kill each other. God or no God, they kill each other. It's the human tendency to join groups and blindly take up causes that we need to learn to work with. Declaring groupthink dangerous and stupid doesn't make us as humans any less likely to be victims of it. How are we going to use these tendencies to move people forward towards peace?
You know, I don't think that we use those tendencies to move people.
Yeah, I think
we capitalize on other tendencies, like on the tendency to be altruistic.
I think just identifying this question here, hey, people have this groupthink problem. How do we avoid it? Well, first you got to identify that you have it. So my solution to this would probably be start teaching confirmation bias at some point. How young can a person be and learn about confirmation bias?
I think you can at any time.
Yeah.
I think that when you have very small little exercises to say, I think that this causes this. Mm-hmm. And you can play little games like when two things happen, when the plug at the bottom of the bathtub goes, mm-hmm. and the water drains out, what does it cause? My bias is that it's scary and I'm going to go down the drain, but you can, look, it doesn't happen. Just because you pull the plug on the bathtub doesn't mean that you're going to end up being swallowed by the bathtub drain.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even those little things, that's part of learning and exploring as a toddler, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, I'm not an expert in child development. I'm more...
You're not. What you just... That scenario you just described is sounds quite terrifying for a kid. What do you think will happen, Billy? You think he'll get sucked into the sewers? I don't...
But that's a common fear that a lot of kids have.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at that, it doesn't have to be the fearful ones too either. Mm-hmm. It can just be the associating, you know, we're in the holiday season right now. Maybe if you put out carrots and celery for Santa's reindeers and a cookie for Santa, you can receive presents, right? And
mm-hmm.
your confirmation bias tells you that Santa, you know, came and ate the cookies, gave me presents. It would say if I didn't do this, then maybe Santa wouldn't give me presents. And you can try this year, maybe saying, what if we don't leave out cookies?
Mm-hmm.
Will you still get presents? And say, hey, one doesn't cause the other. Just because you don't have cookies for mm-hmm. Santa doesn't mean you don't get presents.
Or you could just pick up a four-year-old and shake him and scream, correlation is not causation.
I recommend against that one.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Four is still too young to shake him?
Exactly.
Okay.
So correlation does not equal causation. You know, I like in a little bit later on in elementary school and middle school, you can talk about the Flying Spaghetti Monster Gospels. Don't call them gospels if you're teaching in public school, but the premise being that with the increase in piracy, you know, you've had or the decrease in piracy, you have an increase in global temperatures. So someone's confirmation bias would say that we need to have more pirates to combat global warming. Well, clearly something that absurd. If you can understand that lack of pirates does not cause global warming to happen, you know, then you can start saying that's the same thing with everything else. You have to verify whether something has a causal relationship.
Do you think we as a society will start locally with this? Do we do a good enough job in our current school systems teaching reasoning over regurgitation?
To a certain extent, in some areas, in some classes, on some days.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Am I successful at it? Not every day, certainly not. Do I have little glimpses of it where it happens? Yes. But the thing is that when you're dealing with adolescent brains, it's in fits and starts.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with human brains, it's in fits and starts. You can claim a belief so tenaciously, so strongly, and then suddenly sometimes one little piece of information or one little experience will change your perspective, and there it is.
Is this...
At the same time, though, we have teachers that believe wacky things. I'm not immune to it.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea, our email, in her email says, hey, just because you have declared that groupthink is dangerous and stupid doesn't make humans any less likely to become victims of it. Just because I know that confirmation bias exists doesn't mean that I am not prone to drawing faulty conclusions.
Is this an area that we are actively working to improve the teaching of reasoning to children? Is it...
You know, higher order thinking skills is and critical thinking and reasoning is on a lot of platforms. It's in a lot of state standards.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. I know that about 4 years ago, the Republican Party's platform actually argued against the teaching of higher order thinking skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be an obstacle to overcome. you know, in more direct answer to Chelsea's email, what are we going to do to move people towards peace? When you say, look, we have groupthink that's dangerous and we like to protect people of our particular tribe, that was mutually beneficial to us very early on in organization as modern humans. But let's expand the definition of tribe.
Mm-hmm.
If we're looking at we kill each other, but we protect those within our group, why don't we just expand what our group is? Someone that you think is scary and might be a terrorist, maybe they have fewer differences. Maybe they are part of your tribe. Maybe once we get there, for those of us who are already there, maybe we can expand the definition of tribe even further and saying, we have a vested interest in the protection of non-human animals as well, of other species. I think that capitalizing on the tendency to want to protect one's own can be something that we work from.
But the idea of hacking it, more or less, to exploit this groupthink sort of thing is kind of... I think we do a good job as society of taking our groupthink and just applying it to football teams, or whether you have an iPhone or an Android phone or things like that, putting it in areas of our lives where we're not going to use it to kill each other is fine. But I'm cautious of the idea of turning it back around on itself and making what almost sounds like an argument of an army for peace.
So I guess, Chelsea, we don't have the answer for you if how we're going to use these tendencies to move people towards peace. I guess use what is research shown, what's research based to show to make more thoughtful, peaceful, reasoned people.
Maybe I'm an optimist, but I do feel like if you look at human history, the human species has been moving more towards peace in the long game. If you look at it as a long thing, if you
past 200,000 years or so.
Yeah, if you're looking at it in that fashion, as opposed to looking at the tides, not the waves, I would say on that. I think that things have gotten a little better. I mean, we're having a little bit of roughness right now with international terrorism and things of that nature, but it's a bump in the road. I think humans are headed in that direction.
I did see that 2015, on the whole, for an average human being, is the best year to exist in terms of the standard of living across the board for the majority of people. So yes, well, right now there's roughness. There is a hell of a lot of roughness in the world. There's hunger, there's sectarian strife, there's all kinds of things. We are facing a rapidly changing climate that will cause insecurity across the board. But in terms of 2015, on the vast number of factors about what it means to exist well, 2015 scored the highest.
Did you notice in that which year did we beat out? I'm hoping it was just
every other year.
Well, I mean, who was the current record holder at that? I'm hoping it was 2014, and that things are just getting better and better.
Unknown. I don't think that it was 218,000 years ago.
Yeah. It'd be very strange if it was like a specific, like 1972 was the king year to live on the whole planet, and then we didn't beat it till 2015. Would be very interesting.
That would be.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case though. Oh, we have a question from Matt from Omaha. I am an atheist, but I'm open to changing my views on the off chance that God descends from the heavens, Xenu returns to Earth, etc., etc. But it occurred to me that I don't have a definition of God to say God exists. Think about Darkseid, Thor, I can't pronounce the third one, or the Ancients. Do any of them count? Roll your own, Matt. If you're worried about this happening, it might. I can't say it won't happen. Just write a standards document. It could be a low threshold, like God can do that trick where you make your thumb seem like you've pulled it off your one thumb.
Oh,
you know,
they got your nose trick.
Uh huh. Yeah. Anything that terrifies a 4-year-old, you might have a low threshold there, or it might be up there shooting lightning out of its hands and changing the tides or crashing the moon into the earth or whatever. Pick your own. What's your thought on this, Becky?
I like the question itself, because oftentimes when people go to great lengths to prove that God exists, to try and assert that God exists through various numbers of roundabout ways, they, in my experience, have come from a Christian faith, a Christian tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even if all of your roundabout reasoning, even if all of your apologetics were to suggest that there was an existence of a God, what is your standards document showing that it was the Christian God of the biblical stories?
I'll do even one better than that. So assume that the Christian God of the biblical stories showed up and gave us incontrovertible proof of his existence, a flat tax plan that worked across the board. He shows up, gives us that. Okay, that's my standard. Okay. Shows up, hands out. All right. I still don't think that's a being worthy of worship. I do not like the idea that just because this guy created us and has unlimited power that he should be worshipped, because he seems like a very morally corrupt person who's been withholding this flat tax proposal from us.
I am inclined to agree, Jeremy. So, you know what, Matt? I think I'm going to go with Jeremy on this one. Create your own standards document, or use the
open source it. Put it on GitHub. We'll all add to it.
Even the question itself belies the problem that, yes, you're an atheist. You are open to changing your views on God, but the fact is that there are so many interpretations of what God is, who God is, what God can and can't do, what form he or she or it takes, that the question itself leads to further skepticism on my part, and I suspect maybe on your part too, Matt.
Yeah. Okay. We have another question here. This is another fun one. Geoff. I am wondering if the Ask an Atheist team can help me out. I may be accepting a job offer in Lakewood, Washington. I am wondering if you guys have any suggestions for an atheist moving to the area. Plus all the usual relocating questions like where should I live and other info. I'm from upstate New York, but I spent the last years in hell. I mean Texas.
I thought hell was located in Michigan.
No, there's many hells. Like the Chinese have many hells. America has many hells.
I see.
You have to write your standards document for what you think hell is and try not to live there. Texas itself has many, many hells. I've lived in Texas for a whole 3 weeks one time.
Before turning right back around?
Turning right back around, driving all the way back up here.
Oh, that's one thing, Jeff, about what it's like for an atheist living in Western Washington. So, it's, you know what? You can look at all of the stats. Seattle does pop up on a lot of lists for the least churched and and all that kinds of things.
But you'll be moving in the vicinity of Puyallup, it sounds like, which is the most churches per capita of the state. So, you might not want to live in Puyallup.
And there's all kinds of other things that would lead an atheist to live in one place versus another.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Tacoma, Washington pops up on is the most gay-friendly city. We won that about 3 years ago or 2 years ago from The Advocate.
So, yeah.
And that's relevant to many people that are unchurched because at this point, many people are leaving.
I take issue with calling us the most gay city. The most gay friendly city. I do not believe by any measure I don't know why they did that, honestly.
The Advocate said, yes, this is not a scientific measure. Our metrics were how many roller derby teams do you have? How many gay bars do you have? And yeah. So, how many openly LGBT elected officials do you have at the local level?
Do we have some?
That was one that scored us some points in the
polls. Oh, well.
So that could be relevant, as I was saying, when you have a great many number of people that are leaving their religious communities based on the treatment that LGBT folks receive from their pastors, from their communities, and from their family members who are coming from a very strict religious interpretation of whether you can or can't have relationships and intimacy with this person or that person. So that's something to consider.
Mm-hmm. Where to live in this area is an interesting question because it is a very different area than Texas in terms of many different climates available to you within 30 or 40 miles of anywhere in Western Washington.
You get ocean, mountain,
forest,
yeah.
Avalanches.
Yep, cross over the other side.
Traffic considerations. Jeff should probably contact us in a more direct fashion.
Yes.
I don't think we should dedicate a lot of show time to the ins and outs of, but Tacoma is a great place to live.
And Jeff, we're hoping that you look and research it a little bit more and come on out and chill with the cast and crew of Ask an Atheist. In January, we will be restarting our weekly post shows through the Humanists of Washington Secular South Sound meetups where you can chill and chat with, like-minded folks.
Yeah. And if you're really desperate for it, you could probably find a couch to chill on for a couple weeks where you decide where to live. It doesn't sound like you're in that sort of desperation by any means, but there is a Tacoma Atheist Underground Railroad always in effect.
Exactly.
All right. We have another question from Chelsea from Houston. What group, culture, /whatever are you going to replace religion with that will lead people to be less violent?
Wait, I'm replacing religion? I personally?
You ended up on the other end of the microphone for this question. It is now your responsibility. Chelsea goes on to say, I love the idea of us all functioning reasonably without religion and not joining cults. I just don't think people will do it. I think they want to be part of a group. They want to have rules, structure, and leadership. What do we do to meet that need? Obviously, the churches are meeting needs because they continue to exist, even though they don't make much sense.
Well, Chelsea, you answered your own question here when you said people want to be a part of the group. They want to have rules. They want to have structure. And they want to have leadership. I personally think that there's a great many. Some people do.
I personally don't want to be led anywhere by anyone.
I think some people are more fulfilled when they have an active part in particular leadership, either through consensus building, when they have all members of that group have agency. So, and Jeremy, I don't know. Knowing you, I wouldn't necessarily count you out of that. I don't think you're a hermit or off by yourself. I think that anything that has...
I wasn't trying to describe myself as the Unabomber by any means.
You're not a lone wolf.
No.
So Jeremy the Unabomber describes that he would not have any kind of structure or leadership. No, we do have lots of groups that have those components.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that religion for about 3,000 years have had such a stranglehold on creating those kinds of communities.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
these are all social institutions. Every single one of them. The Catholic Church is a massive social institution. So is your local tabletop gaming club.
Maybe
you can find
together on a Sunday afternoon for, you know, drinks and food on a weekly basis.
Maybe you love to go see a movie at the weird elephant party on December. You know, I mean, you could join any social club you want. I don't think we're going to find a one-to-one replacement for religion because that is religion. Now, how do we stop people from just joining cults? You can't in a free society. If people want to join a cult, they're going to join a cult.
I think calling people on illegal tactics and tactics is goes a long way to stopping people from joining cults. When you raise awareness about dangers and what effects that has on someone's life, people can be more armed and more prepared, armed mentally and intellectually, to not fall victim to some of the tactics that cults use, like love bombing. You find someone that's very vulnerable and you say, we love you, we support you, and you can come and do everything and give heaping praise without criticism whatsoever until you essentially rope someone in and then create those kinds of separations between their family and any kind of pre-existing ties they would have had. So the more you raise awareness on that, the more people will be intellectually armed against joining cults and things like that.
Yes, this all goes back to my fix-all plan for all of American society, which is you pass a constitutional amendment that says you must fund education dollar for dollar the same way you fund the military.
Here's Jeremy with his leadership and structure coming in to save the day, protect us from cults.
That is that's a long-term strategy, of course. That will take 60 or 80 years to pay off. The other option I have is everyone lines up, counts off by twos, then the even numbers just leave. It's easier to manage a smaller group. You just send them all to Canada. They'll be fine.
Yeah, it could use a little population burst up there. And I'm sure that our Canadian atheistic listeners would welcome them with open arms.
Yeah.
Without love bombing, of course.
No. They'd apologize for the inconvenience of them having to come to Canada. All right. We got one more story I'd like to talk about today. Icelanders revive Sumerian religion to protest religious tax.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. A group of Icelanders have revived a religion dedicated to the worship of ancient Sumerian gods in an attempt to end a religious tax. The Zuist movement gained over 3,000 followers, which represents 1% of the country's population, over a period of 2 weeks. Icelandic law requires people to register their religion with the state, and a portion of their taxes will be given to the church of their choice. These guys have promised to refund the religious tax. So they've invented what I call circular tithing.
I love it.
Yeah. They go, we have to have a religion. Let's just have a transparently fake one. And that means one that no one believes in anymore.
Huh.
Yeah. And they'll give us that. We'll get taxed. We'll give that money right back to the people. What's your thoughts on this, Becky?
I think it's a nice hack to get out of something that is kind of absurd. And if Icelandic law is such that there is this loophole, then go for it. Dig in. Jump through that loophole. It kind of reminds me of a few years ago when Jedi Knight became a very popular religion in the UK. For similar reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Now I think Jedi Knight is a popular religion because of Disney's revival of The Force Awakens, right? So, interesting that they went with the Sumerian gods and decided not to go Jedi. Interesting because Iceland itself, from my understanding, is very tied to its long-standing traditions. I mean, its language has remained relatively unchanged for a very long time compared to other languages. It has a very rich culture of its particular saga and, you know, the sagas and stories and traditions of the Vikings. So to introduce something so foreign and so alien to Iceland, I think is quite fun.
Yeah, I do too. We have one more story we want to cover just briefly here tonight. A Muslim judge faced backlash after swearing in on the Quran.
You mean a book of her own choosing?
Yeah.
Decided
that you have a legal right to get sworn in on. This is kind of part of the wider backlash against the idea that there might be Muslims in America at all right now. You know, and we talked about that a little bit earlier. Don't punch someone because you think they're Muslim, even if they are. And I don't understand the outrage. Would you rather she swore in on a book whose contents she didn't believe were holy?
I guess. I mean, I suppose that maybe the folks that are giving backlash to her don't believe that she should be a judge in the first place to begin with.
It could be that, or they could just be like, this is America, we're a Christian nation, but who knows? It's hard to puzzle out.
Indeed, indeed. I think that Judge Karen Walker Diallo, you know, if the Quran is the thing that motivates you to be impartial and good, just as the Bible does that for some people, okay?
Yeah. We support your right to pick your own belief system. And that is our show today. Thank you for listening to Ask an Atheist.